All right, so let me open us in prayer, and then we'll have a great talk about a really, really exciting ministry. So let's pray. Father, it would be a very good start to say thank you for giving your life for us. I'm probably so spoiled, Lord, that I don't remember a time really that I didn't know you and was not confident that you died for me, forgave my sins through zero merit, zero righteousness of my own, that you gave me your righteousness. And so I have your presence through the days, and I have purpose in life that can seem to lack purpose, but we believe it and we know it because of what you've communicated to us and how you've given us community and all the blessings. And then we have an eternal destination. We have hope for an incredible eternity, new heavens, new earth. So it's just, I'm not sure that I don't take that for granted a lot of times. So we just open our time this morning by saying thank you for that gift of all of those things and more. And we thank you for how it manifests itself for this being brought into grace, how it manifests itself by a church, just bringing a church together and having the gifts that you give different people to serve each other. We experience it at Briarwood. We experience it in this class. That can't be generated by human effort. It's very obvious when it is. And, but Lord, your Holy Spirit, we thank you for that. Just take time this morning to thank you for it, Lord. We've got people in our class that have all kinds of needs and concerns, fears, pressures, joys, new grandkids, just all the blessings of life and the fears and concerns and the health issues. So I just pray that you would be present, that we would sense your presence. We know you are present, but we would sense your presence in all of these concerns and just really feel that, about how much you care. And Lord, that we would be attuned to each other's needs when we are prompted to contact and help, that we would do that. Just let this be a class that comforts with your comfort. We thank you for that. We thank you for our times together, for hearing the summer discussions of ministry that's going on. It's so encouraging. It's uplifting in a world that appears to not have your will going in so many ways, to not have at least your revealed will of righteousness and service. But it is going on. And so we thank you for the ways that our church does that, that we can be involved. And I thank you for Dave and Rebecca Latham, for their ministry through your church and now their ministry through the seminary. And we thank you for the seminary, for Ike's great leadership, the way it's just taken off. We pray that you would just open our eyes to needs out there that we're not even really aware of through this morning's talk. We thank you for that, for our prayer time, our fellowship, time of hearing from you. And I pray that in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to, here comes more folks. A lot of them wait till I stop talking. And then that's, they're like, okay.
Come on in, everybody. Yeah. No pressure. I'm glad you're here.
Here, we can make names. But, so we've been just having such a great summer, kicked off by Bill and Peggy talking about the ballet. And one thing we really learned from that discussion, people were like, I knew we had a ballet, but I didn't know all that was involved. And so this whole summer, having people talk about the ministries that the church does and just get a deeper view. Scott, great job last week, kind of giving the overview of the board directed ministries, which just do a tremendous job. One of those is the seminary. So the Birmingham Theological Seminary started in 1972 here. I wasn't born yet. But you were the only one that laughed.
Yeah, good.
Well, it's been around. It's one of the older of the ministries, but just doing a tremendous, tremendous job. And so Dave Latham and his wife, Rebecca, he'll, I'm sure, introduce her. But he is the chief admissions and communications officer. That's his official title. He does a lot of stuff there. I'm on the board and listening to the reports of what they did is a busy, busy group and had tons of success, tons of growth in the seminary, and both in terms of numbers, geography, and as you'll see, even in the scope of the ministry. So, Dave, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here.
Yeah, thank you.
When you finish, you can just close
it. Okay, close. Got it. Okay. Hey, everybody. Y'all doing okay? All right, Adam, little interaction's great. So, hello. Hey, everybody. I'm so glad to be here with you, as I'm going to try to get this thing clipped. You were supposed to have Ike, but he is now talking to another class. And so that's either going to be a wonderful thing for you or terrible. And we're all about to find out, right? But I know when I walked in, I saw the figs on the table and I said, this Sunday school class is not messing around. And so I'm glad to be here with you this morning. Again, my name's Dave Latham. I'm a PCA pastor. We live in Fort Payne, Alabama. So if you've ever been up to Fort Payne, home of the country music supergroup, Alabama. And so I'm with my wife, Rebecca, here. We're camp sweethearts. We met at Camp Greystone in Tuxedo, North Carolina, and that turned into a marriage and kids. And so we have a senior in high school. His name is Stokes, which was her maiden name. And then my daughter is a freshman. So we got a high school senior and a high school freshman. And so Stokes is beginning his college search. And so pray for us. And also pray for the Lord to open the windows of heaven. We need some scholarship money. So Lord, please send it. But it really is a joy to be here with you today to talk about something that's actually become very near and dear to my heart, which is the seminary, but then also specifically the prison ministry. And so I don't know if you are, I'm not going to presume that you may know a lot about the seminary. Some of you may be just starting to come to Briarwood. And so if you don't know, there is an awesome seminary that is in this building that has over 600 students currently studying all over the world. And so a lot to be thankful for, and also a prison ministry that is kind of an outreach of Briarwood and the seminary that is doing just absolutely tremendous work. And so my job here today is I am not trying to twist your arm to get you to do anything. I want you to know what God is up to through the ministry of the seminary and also through the prison ministry. And I want you to be able to leave this classroom and go, the gospel is amazing. God is at work. And we are very encouraged and thankful that God is on the move and that he's sovereign. That is literally all I want from you. And so if you leave out of here with that, fantastic. If you have any specific questions, I would love to punt those to Ike or to John or to anybody else who's on the board, and they, because they're here all the time, and they'll be more than happy to answer those specific questions for you. But I did want to start out just with, and hello to everybody out there on Zoom world. I hope you're doing okay. I hope you can see this, because I thought the most helpful thing that we could do is actually lay before you some testimonies from inmates themselves. And so you're going to hear from two guys in particular this morning. You're going to hear from, or in this first video, you're actually going to hear from three guys. First guy is Stephen Parker. Stephen is in prison now for multiple murders. He was actually called one of the most dangerous men in the Alabama prison system in 2006. He was also the head of the Alabama Aryan Nation. And while he was spending time in solitary confinement, somebody got a Bible to him and he started reading it. And then an inmate who was actually an African American, remember this guy, head of the Aryan Nation, African American guy, shared his testimony with Steve. He became a Christian and is now moved down to a medium security prison. And he's actually a BTS and Ligonier joint student right now. Unbelievable. All right. If you didn't think that was cool, let me introduce you to another guy. His name's Cornell Nobles. And so I actually just found out that he is a cousin of a friend of mine. I had no idea. I found that out this morning. He's a current inmate. He's in for murder and rape charges. He is actually a former Blood gang member, and he is now, by God's grace, a co-teacher with Steve. Remember the Aryan Nation guy? They are now co-teachers in a Bible study to inmates. And you just think, isn't the gospel amazing? And Ike was sharing with me a little bit this morning, and he said, you know, his dad, Harry, and then even he, as he goes to the jail, he said, whenever I come away from the prison, each time I leave rejuvenated by the power of the gospel. You know, you ever had a moment, like I'm a PCA pastor, I've been ordained for about 15 years, and I have realized that I can't change anybody's heart. And if you ever wondered, it's like, well, we got this Bible and we got this gospel message that we talk about, like, it seems like we just say the same thing over and over and over again. And like, is it really changing anybody's heart? Is it really making any difference? Don't we need to add a little something to it? Like we need to add something with a little bit more fireworks, a little bit more pizzazz. But I think what you'll see is the Holy Spirit working through the word with the heart of the message of the gospel of grace going through the ministry of others. It really does some amazing things. And so, again, I just want to encourage you. Let me start here with this first video here. And you're going to meet Steve and you're going to meet Cornell. I'll hit him with the laser pointer here in just a second. Let me make sure it works. My batteries may have died. If not, I'll point them out to you.
Encounter with all of these people that are unclean, unworthy, they've been abandoned, they're hopeless, and Christ does not recoil at them. He actually reaches out and embraces them. And by the time people are one step away from where
that's Cornell.
One guy in the pool, you know, could land you where you are, so you often look at, you know, with less than, and maybe the gospel isn't holistic. Prison first time when I was 19 years old. Me and my brother felt a call, and we got charged with it. We went to prison when I was 40 years old in 2014. I ended up getting a murder case. Me and another guy got to an altercation, and I ended up shooting him and killing him.
I saw my parents. They're not going through the COVID.
That's Steve.
I've been in prison now for about 25 years. First half of that was. That's right. I was really angry, really mad, really upset. And just going down into a spiral of just brokenness and brokenness and brokenness until I hit the bottom, I guess. And I was just hoping I was never going to be able to get out of it for the rest of my life. And then also,
the truth of the gospel is what's going to transform and change hearts. And once that light comes on, and they are transformed by the renewal of their mind, they really, really just begin to embrace. These are people that you don't have to convince them they're sinners, they know. You don't have to convince them they're guilty, they know. I have to convince them there is hope in Christ. There's the offer of forgiveness. There really is someone who came to seek and save the lost, who came to save sinners. And guess what? He's right here. We've got to take the gospel to them. Of course, God is the one that's changed. God is the one that's transforming their lives. And with these men, when they acknowledge, this is where God has me at this point in life. I know I did something wrong. I know that I hurt people. But now I am surrendering my life to God. I remember, like it's yesterday, these men of God, encircling me, and it really had an impact on my life. That night I got on my knees, and, I surrendered my life to Christ. And, my life has been many times too. After Christ had beaten me, I stopped getting in trouble 11 years ago, and I started reading. In that time I had written publishers. Publisher
Send me Christian to them. They say that Archie Sproul shows them I got.
Every Sunday, your guys pack in the classroom up just to be able to listen to what Dr. Sproul. You know, there's different things that we're being given that doctors just say they want to just be faithful to listen to and watching. In the chapel here, I found a letter from Living There to another inmate. I didn't have a decent study Bible. I wrote Living There and they sent me a Reformation study Bible. We'd like to be able to say, hey, we know you don't have much in this wonderful place, prison. We want you to have this. We want you to have a copy of God's Word so you can read and study for yourself.
There's an abundance of competing voices out there. Pretty much every belief system that you can think of exists behind the prison walls.
A lot of times in this environment, we're the smaller voice. Being a smaller voice doesn't make it to everyone. We're not telling the truth. We use the Bible as a means to change the person's heart and to change the person's mind. And we just raise a question about some of the things that people are taught to you. Some resources we can, you know, be able to give you guys the best opportunity that we can for them to really know who God is, not just by word of mouth, but we be walking through some of the classes and studying our. All these things are so helpful when we're having these classes. For a long time, I didn't know him. You know, people always say, I know God, and know God, and know about him, but I think I knew about him. I know him now.
I don't know if I'll get out of prison. I don't feel like I have deserved to get out of prison in the first place. But I'm just happy just to know Jesus. I'm happy that I'm not the person he knows.
Come on, y'all. Isn't that good? I got another one for you. We work with Ligonier, by the way, so that's why this is a Ligonier video. I'll mention that in a minute. All right, so let me introduce you to another guy. His name is Russell Booth. He is a current inmate for murder, in there for murder. But I'm using a new, I'm coming up with a new video series called BTS Bits, which is like little vignettes. And so here's another vignette of another inmate, and then you're going to hear from me after this. So this guy's great.
I just graduated the Doctor of Ministry Honors track with Birmingham Theological Seminary. I'm actually a two-time BTS grad. I came here as part of the Cohort 1 in 2016, so I had the privilege of being part of what God is doing through the ministry of BTS at Bibb County Correctional Facility for now 8 years. This prison has transformed from one where you, as an inmate, definitely do not want to be to where if you have to be serving time, this is the place to be. Through my last degree program with BTS, it was a research-based degree. It has helped me grow in my spiritual gifting as a teacher and in my calling and hope to teach both in the church and in the academy. I've been given the opportunity to be a professor of some research and writing classes as well as Greek and Hebrew classes with Birmingham Theological Seminary here in the Prison Initiative. Also through the mentorship and the support of the faculty here at Bibb and work with the faculty outside to publish an article in Birmingham Theological Journal. These have been things that have helped me develop the skills that I hope to continue to grow, to pass on to a Cohort 3 graduate who will hopefully be my replacement here in a couple of years when I transition to society. I hope that the things I've learned are preparing me ultimately to be a seminary professor in the mission field, hopefully in a country where there's great need for biblical Christianity, good solid Bible doctrine, helping equip pastors and leaders of the church to study God's word correctly, to teach doctrine to their congregation, to be able to advance the call of Christ. We're all very, very thankful here. We cannot do any of this without the support of churches, ministries, pastors, and just individual brothers and sisters in Christ who are coming along beside us. We are well aware the computers are not free, the books are not free, the professors have to earn a living, they have to drive out here all of these things, we as inmates are completely dependent upon the generosity of the church to help further the mission of the work it did. Since 2016, we've grown from 15 to over 300 men that we are working with and discipling directly here at Bibb County Correctional Facility. So the donation and support, but whether it be prayer, which we most certainly need, as well as financial support, has been able to give us what we need to equip us and equip others to do the work of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you very, very much for your support.
How cool is that? All right. So I thought it'd be helpful for you to just hear from a few inmates directly about the impact of the gospel on their lives. I mean, in those stories, that's just three stories. Remember, he said we started with 15 and we now have 300. It's unreal. It really is. It's absolutely unreal. And so again, I just want to encourage you. God's at work, ladies and gentlemen. And so I put this here for you, the BTS Prison Initiative. It's a unique 2-year program that brings comprehensive theological training directly to inmates across Alabama at Bibb County Correctional Facility. The curriculum equips men to serve as disciplers, evangelists, counselors, and faithful proclaimers of God's word, ministering to their fellow inmates and transforming prison culture from the inside out. It's an amazing thing when you think about what God is doing here through the prison. And one of the things that you may not be aware of is By Faith back in January did a 3-part series on the prison initiative. You can see there January 7, 8, and 9. Those are the 3 days that they posted. And you can see the various pictures that you have there. I mean, I love, you know, you have these gentlemen who have graduated from the program and they're wearing cap and gowns. Like BTS shows up and does a full graduation with them. And they're all wearing their jumpsuits up underneath. You have Thad James. That's the African-American gentleman there in the suit. He's the director of the program and the president emeritus of BTS. He was actually doing prison ministry 10 years before it actually got officially started through the seminary. So very near and dear to his heart. And then up there you see a picture of inmates gathering together for worship on Sunday morning. It's just amazing when you think about what God is doing. Let me read just one little quote from these Twitter articles that By Faith put out. Here's a quote. This is from part 3 of the series, which is that one. He said, there are 106 men in each bay, chaplain and PCA teaching elder Mitch Hobart reminded the inmates in his remarks at the Christmas service. Each of you represents a family, which means there are 106 families in each bay. Think about what it means to leave a legacy. You're doing this to help you serve and shepherd others, to be the father, husband, or son you need to be the leaders you need to be. Such an insight is a sobering reminder for each one of these men. The goal is not simply a new walk with Christ and a safer place to sleep at night, but restored, renewed relationships with their family and community. Every believer on the inside lives with a unique tension between their two identities, their secular legal identity as a criminal and their sacred identity as a new creation in the eyes of God. Isn't that good? It's amazing when you think about it. All right, so here's where the ministry is actually happening. Bibb County Correctional Facility, about an hour away from here. And so, again, a quote from part 1 of the series I thought was really helpful. It says, Bibb County's violent reputation dates back to the late 1800s when the county earned the nickname Bloody Bibb. The Bibb County Correctional Facility opened in 1998 and has been one of Alabama's most violent prisons. Seeking to curb prison unrest, the Alabama Department of Corrections approached Birmingham Theological Seminary in 2015 to ask if they would pilot a theological education program implemented in other southern states. Remember, who sought who out? The prison said, hey, BTS, can you help us out? Dr. Thaddeus James, Jr. stepped forward to serve as the ministry's director, recruiting other BTS faculty and Mitch Hobart, a military, veteran, and ordained PCA pastor, as the inside coordinator for BTS. From the very first time I entered Bibb County Correctional Facility, James recalled recently, I knew that this was what God called me to do. At every step from the launching of BTS to our current growth is all by the sovereignty and providence of God. So good, right? So the foundation of everything that we do, obviously, is rooted and grounded in Scripture. So a few quick scriptures, 2 Timothy 3:16 to 17. All scriptures breathed out by God is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Romans 12:12, rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Do you remember Steve talking about that? He said, I'm not the guy I used to be. I used to be angry. Now I'm just glad that I know Jesus. Isn't that good? What you also have, Matthew 25, 36 and 40. I was in prison and you came to me. Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these of my brothers, you did it to me. And then finally in Hebrews 13, 3, remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Amazing stuff. What I want to remind you of, and it seems so trite, but it's so true. People who are in prison are not invisible. They're image bearers of God. They're people with names and feelings and stories. They are people that God is interested in. They are people for whom the Holy Spirit, in his due time, according to his sovereign providence, wants to draw to himself. And so we're reminded in Hebrews to not forget about those who are in prison. As a PCA pastor, that's one of the things that I would put in my pastoral prayer every week, because we're commanded to. We pray for those in prison. We pray for those with family and friends in prison. We don't forget about them. We keep them in the front of our mind. And so what's our mission and vision? It's to prepare men for ministry while they're incarcerated, training them to be disciplers, evangelists, counselors, and proclaimers of God's word, and to emphasize the ultimate goal is the transformation of the prison culture and the inmates' lives. It is from the inside out. These inmates are coming to know the Lord and then are sharing the gospel with other inmates, and they are gathering together to study high-powered, heavy-duty theology. I know other grown-ups that would not like to sit through an R.C. Sproul lecture. That might be you. And you have these inmates who are just soaking this up. They're soaking it up. They're eating it up. How many of us have unread Bibles? You probably have multiple copies. These guys are like, just send me one. I'm gonna read every page of it. You just love to see the hunger that these men have for God's word. And so how in the world are we trying to reach these inmates? Let me just tell you very quickly, just keeping an eye on my time, about kind of how we're going about it. The first thing that I want you to know about is Birmingham Theological Seminary, okay? So BTS, the amazing thing about that is we offer full credit courses in biblical studies to inmates. These are not like watered down classes, ladies and gentlemen. This is full strength, varsity level, seminary education to the inmates. Full force. The curriculum's nearly identical to what's taught in the free worlds, in the free world to the students. There's various educational pathways. Inmates with an undergraduate degree can work towards a master's degree, while those with a high school diploma can earn a graduate certificate. Requirement is that students must have a minimum of 10 years left on their sentences to stay in leadership positions, but 80% of our students are serving life sentences. And the graduates, we have cohort 2 with 13 men that was launched in 2018, graduated in December of 2021. They were delayed a few years due to COVID. Does anybody remember that? Kind of a thing. Yeah. We were all still alive when COVID was going on. Cohort 3 with 10 men began in September of 2021 with fall classes starting January of 2022, and they graduated last September. Currently in full-time classes are cohort 4, which is 10 men, started in the summer of 2024 and anticipates a September 2026 graduation. And recruiting is already underway for cohort number 5. And so you already heard the testimony of Russell Booth. He was the guy in the second video. He was a murder convict who earned a Doctor of Ministry in honors degree. And he saw the prison culture change from dog eat dog to one of a culture of grace because of the gospel. You heard him say, it used to be a prison. You didn't want to go here. But now if you have to serve time, you want to come here. And it's all because God is at work. This guy, I don't want to downplay this to you, okay? He's a 2-time graduate of BTS. The honors degree that he just earned is like an English, think like Oxford, Cambridge over in the UK, is an English style research-based doctorate. And he did every bit of it in prison. Isn't that amazing? Like a 75,000 to 100,000 word dissertation that he pulled together and researched and wrote, all while teaching fellow inmates about the gospel of grace. It's unbelievable when you think about it. It's, you kind of help but laugh at what God's doing when you really think about it.
Dave,
yeah.
Sad would be numbers, but guys, when you get the program, they move into bays that they are together.
Yes.
And so this is quantifiable how the cultures change.
Yep.
The amount of detention and, punishments.
Yeah. Yep. And I've got a cool stat for you on the recidivism rate in a little bit, but yeah, I agree. Yes. No, it has changed the culture of the prison. And it's the gospel, ladies and gentlemen. It just is. It's crazy. I mean, you think about, remember the guy Paul in the Bible? Remember him? If you went to the 8 a.m. service like I did, you heard an excellent sermon from Ephesians chapter 2. If you're going to it, you're going to hear a great sermon on Ephesians chapter 2. Super helpful. But remember Paul? Remember when he was Saul? Was he a good guy or a bad guy? What was he doing? Killing people, right? So he was a murderer. And then look what happened. God got a hold of him. And remember, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, you know, basically throwing yourself off the cliff, and you were following the prince of the power of the air and the course of the world. But God, being rich in mercy, even with the great love in which he loved us, it's by grace we've been saved and not our works. It's amazing when you think about it. The life of Paul, think about him, murderer, changed by the power of the gospel. That's what's happening right now in Bibb County. When you think about it, it's absolutely insane. And so what you think about, I want to introduce you to just a couple of people that we work with, okay? The first one that I want to introduce you to is the Unbound 216 program. It grew out of a recidivism program called Jumpstart. It utilizes a 46-week curriculum on Reformed theology and biblical manhood. It emphasizes the unique inmate-led structure of Unbound 216 with BTS graduates serving as teachers, ministers, and course managers. The structure allowed the program to continue even when visitors were not permitted during the pandemic. So God was at work using Unbound. The next couple of people that we partner with and we're grateful for is Christ Behind the Walls. That is an inmate-led mission church with over 150 attendees. That's that one. That's a church that meets in prison every week. And inmates, tell me that God's not at work. Tell me you don't believe in a sovereign God who can change the hearts of people, even when we're dead asleep. Bloody Bibb no more, ladies and gentlemen, because the power of the gospel. And these men who probably were, you know, years ago, would have tried to kill each other in general population. Now, brothers and sisters in the Lord, white, black, Hispanic, murderers, convicts, now drawn together by the power of the gospel, now worshiping together, all nations, tribes, and tongues worshiping together. Isn't that amazing? I hope your heart's encouraged. I mean, look at that. Isn't that crazy? Now you think about Christ Behind the Walls, Ligonier Ministries. You heard the video at the beginning. Provides materials and in a joint ministry allows students to earn 2 9-month certificate programs in theology and apologetics. This is Ligonier's only partnership of its kind in over 900 prisons in America. Very unique what God is doing at Bibb County right now with Ligonier. Ligonier sends truckloads of Reformation study Bibles and other resources to Bibb County. They're like, here you go. You can have it. And we're so grateful for them. We're so grateful for them. And then Reformation Bible College. This is interesting. This is new. Okay. For the first time, Reformation Bible College will grant access to their associates and bachelor's degrees programs in biblical studies to inmates. So through RBC, we now have undergrad, graduate, and doctoral programs available to inmates if they so choose. And RBC, I don't know if you know anything about RBC. I got to go down there and visit several months ago now. RBC is not messing around. And if you take undergraduate, like, biblical studies classes with them, they're so hard, we actually give those graduates advanced standing at Birmingham Seminary. They're taking graduate-level seminary classes in undergrad. And so now RBC is going to open up their programs for everyone else. So, again, God's at work, ladies and gentlemen. Let me introduce you to Thad James. If you've not met him, he's this guy here. Or that guy there, African-American guy with the suit. Dr. Thad James is our program director, and he is the VP Emeritus at BTS. He's a key figure in the initiative's success. He had a decade of volunteer work in prison ministry before the program officially began. He has a hands-on role. He spends 3 days a week at BIB mentoring, counseling, and teaching inmates. He comes into our staff meetings with his clear prison bag, you know, with all of his stuff in it. And he drives an hour 3 times a week to go and teach inmates in person, face to face, and to just be there with them. It's amazing stuff when you think about it. And we're so grateful for that. And so, again, with just a little bit of time that I have left, I just wanted to lay a few things in front of you, okay? The recidivism rate. This is a pretty compelling stat. The recidivism rate for Unbound 216 graduates is just 5%. Contrast that with the national average of 82% of state prisoners being rearrested within 10 years. So you got 82% over here, and you got 5% over here. And then when you talk to John's point, when you talk to the prison warden and you talk about how the culture has shifted, it went from bloody bib with, you know, people fighting and being angry to now inmates loving and encouraging each other. So that the incident rate is way down because the inmates are handling conflicts in and among themselves in a biblical manner. Don't you think that the church at large could learn a lot from these men? I don't know if you've ever heard, ain't no fight like a church fight. Don't you think that we could probably learn a little something from the inmates? Learn a little something for how to handle conflict within the church? Learn how to lean into the gospel and maybe actually do it Matthew 18 style? Rather than fight like the world, we go and we talk to each other face to face and give benefits of the doubt. Isn't it amazing what God is doing in Bibb County Correctional Facility with these inmates? And it is showing tangible results. This is not pie in the sky. Hey, we're having some theological discussion up here in the ether. This is, we've got hands and feet to this and we have stats to back it up as to how God is at work. And so if you're prone to doubt, hey, Is there anything to this gospel thing? Is there anything to that passage? Because we read, oh, the scripture is transformative and okay, whatever. But this, ladies and gentlemen, shows that it's got hands and feet to it, that the Holy Spirit is continually at work. And so, I want to tell you, I'd love to tell you a little bit more about some of these other stories. I do have one more that I'd like to show you just in the few moments that I have left. The thing that you need to realize about this program as well is that when inmates actually are released, this program actually provides support for reintegration into society, including transitional housing, job search assistance, all of that kind of stuff goes into it. But you think about, again, Dr. Russell Booth came in as a murderer. He's leaving as a doctorate with a doctorate, and he wants to go be a seminary professor in a mission field. It's amazing when you think about that. And that's just one story. You think about, you just heard from a guy that was literally named the most dangerous man in the Alabama prison system. Now is a Christian. Now is sharing his faith. Now is helping lead a Bible study with a man that he used to hate just based solely on his skin color. And now they're working together. Fellow laborers in the vineyard of God. Going forth and sharing the gospel in great power. It is amazing when you think about it. We at BTS are so glad just to play some part in that. I hope, like, this is under your umbrella. I don't go here. I don't go to Briarwood. I live in Fort Payne, okay? This is under your umbrella, ladies and gentlemen. This is something you should be super encouraged about and saying, thank you, God. Thank you, God, for all that you've done. Aren't you glad for Barker? And hey, aren't you glad for Harry Reeder? Aren't you glad for these men that had poured years and years and years and years of effort into the inmates, not seeing them as invisible throwaway people. We lock them up and then we're done. Aren't you glad that God can go into the prison? Aren't you glad that God's at work? I hope it's a challenge to you to remember those who were in prison as Hebrews 13:3 tells us. I hope it's an encouragement to you to not forget about invisible people, that they're people with names and feelings and backstories and hopes and dreams, and they're made in the image of God, and they're worthy of investing in. They're worthy of praying for. They're worthy of going to visit. They're worthy of giving to be able to increase this ministry. I mean, I know I'm turning into a preacher right now. I can't help it. It's in there. All right? Once you ordain the guy, it's over. Okay? And I preach like a Baptist. I get that. Okay? Let me just tell you one more story, okay? And then I'd love to take some questions or just hear some comments or encouragement, right? And so let me tell you one more story. There's a guy named Adam. He is currently in prison for armed robbery. And he is now out of prison. He's been released. But while he was actually in there, his children and his sister were killed in a bus crash. There was a big storm, and it was actually a bus that was actually carrying them to go see him. And the bus flipped over, and his kids and his sister were all killed. Okay? I don't know if you are familiar with the story of the man who wrote the hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul," but that his family was killed in a shipwreck, if my memory serves me correctly. And he wrote that powerful hymn that we love to sing. "It is well with my soul when peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows," remember the story? "Sea billows roll. Whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, is well with my soul." This guy, Adam, in prison, you know what he was able to say after that? "God is good. God is good. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. God is good." And he has been able to be able to move forward personally through the help of these programs and through people caring for him. And the inmates at large attribute their transformation to the gospel and the word of God, not to their own efforts. They all say, "Look, if it was left up to me, I would have fallen flat on my face. But I am so grateful for the power of the gospel, and I am so grateful for people investing in our lives." And ladies and gentlemen, did you hear from 15 to 300 and growing an hour from here? And that is under your umbrella as this church. Thank you. Thank you so much. It's amazing when you think about what God's doing. Okay, so I just want to lay this before you, okay? If you don't remember anything else I said, okay? The scripture is the thing you should remember anyway, not anything Dave has said. Okay? This verse. Remember those who are in prison as though in prison with them. Our prayer is that you would invest in the lives of those who are in prison for the glory of God and for the good of his kingdom. Our prayer is that you would, some of you, not everybody, but our prayer would be that a few of you may catch a vision for what God is doing, not only through the seminary, but also through this prison initiative. If you have any questions about that, please talk to Ike. Please talk to John. Please talk to these folks that you see each and every week. Go upstairs and go visit. I think it's in the A building. Go upstairs to the second floor and visit the seminary and see what God's doing. The amazing thing about the seminary, I used to actually be the director of admissions for RTS Charlotte. That's how Ike and I met. I used to steal his students. And now, because, you know, we were competing for the same students. That's my job. And so, but the thing that I love about BTS is, you may not know this, I went to seminary and we had to pack up our family and we moved from a free house living at camp full time and we moved to Charlotte, and it was hard. And we did our seminary degree in 3 years. It was a nightmare. It was so hard and we were so broke. But the amazing thing about the BTS program is, overall, as you can imagine, these big cities are getting more expensive by the minute. Tuition is rising at a rapid pace. Traditional brick and mortar seminary is becoming a luxury item. And what BTS allows people to do is, for every one person who can go the traditional route, I was able to by God's grace, there's probably about 10 or 20 or even 100 that wish that they could go to seminary, but it just seems so far removed. What we are allowing students to do is to be able to go and get a seminary degree. Our tuition's $100 a credit before scholarship. The going rate's like 600 and something bucks a credit. We're able to keep people in their communities. One thing that I noticed now that I have been a small town pastor for almost 6 years, you see guys that move out of these small towns or they have deep relational community ties. They go off to the city, they get eyes for the city, and then they fight tooth and nail to stay in the city when what they need to do is go back home and minister to that small town. We let them stay there. We let them stay where God has raised them up and where God has gotten them planted. They're going to get to preach more. They're going to get to teach more. They're going to get to do more hospital visits. They're going to get to actually do ministry. We think the seminary's job, it is not our job to train pastors. It is our job to help resource, but it's actually the church's job to pour into the lives of these future ministers and to give them opportunities to serve. We are allowing small rural churches the ability to have seminary interns right there serving in their congregation where their family name is worth the weight in gold because they grew up in that town. That is what BTS is doing. And we are growing like a weed. We're stress testing every part of the machine in real time. Ike has done an incredible job. Incredible. Like, we're nipping at the heels of Covenant Theological Seminary in St. Louis. Do you know that? We're almost as big as them. Crazy. So, I want to encourage you, right? God's at work. This is happening underneath your umbrella. I hope you're encouraged. I hope if you're about to go to worship, you take that heart in there. If you're going home, I hope that you take an encouraged heart with you about that God is at work, the gospel's true, the Spirit really is at work, the Bible really is that sufficient, and that God is moving in the hearts of people. So thank you. Any questions, comments, snide remarks? Right on time. Look at me. Yes, sir. Yep. Question, comment? Yeah.
I'm just trying to connect the dots here. Clark and Kathy Brown are here today. But when he stands up and asks for donations, socks and this and that and the other, is he going to Big Town? Is that where that's going?
Yeah, that's
I feel like this happens to her with all of them. You hear a little something and thank you for the bigger picture.
Yeah.
Now I understand
sure.
what Clark is trying to
yeah.
Linda.
Yeah. Thank you.
When he, we had a friend's going.
I don't even know who they are, but I'm sure they're great. Do I have a comment over here? Yeah, thank you. No, that did that help connect dots for people? Cool.
Question. So it seems incredible. You hear about guards and people trying to find guards. What does this effect have on the guards and the staff working at the hospital?
Well, could you imagine? I mean,
I can't imagine.
You go from inmates trying to kill you to now sharing the gospel with you.
Have you seen the gospel go to them?
That's a good question. I don't know about that. I have heard the staffing in the bays that our work is being done is lower. That they're the prison blood and they're able to put less guards in. That's a legitimate statement. I don't know about actually getting the gospel.
I'm sure there's stories of that. I mean, how could there not be?
Or to their family.
Uh-huh.
We've seen
yeah. Yeah, how could there not be those stories of grace? Yeah, that's great. Yes, sir.
But God is a bit there, but prisons love it. If this is so effective, if our other wardens demanding it,
yep. Whatever. I don't want to get too over my skis, but I do know that in our future plans is we're trying to get a kind of a remote thing going in Huntsville. And part of the Huntsville learning site would also be an outreach to the prison there and to try to replicate it. But yes, more and more people are finding out about what BTS is doing in the prisons and they're starting to ask about it. And so we're hoping it's a replicatable model. Yeah.
What about the women's prison? Anyone going to the women's prison?
I don't know. That would be a question for Ike or Thad. I just don't want to speak out of turn. All I know is what's going on here. I hope so. I pray for it. I pray so. Any other comments or questions?
We're there.
Got fired. Any other questions or comments? You're going to pay for that one. All right. Hey, let me pray for us really quickly. Let's close in prayer. Almighty God, we give you praise for lives changed by the gospel. We think about Paul, and who went by Saul, murdered Christians, dragging them off to prison, and people clapped. And then, Lord, you found him. You changed his heart, and you gave him a new mission to go and reach those whom he previously hated. And, Lord, we just thank you for hearts changed inside the walls of prison. We're so grateful for Thad James. We're grateful, Lord, for his heart for the prison. We're thankful for all that you're doing at Bibb County. We're thankful for partnerships with Unbound 216 and Ligonier and Reformation Bible College and Birmingham Theological Seminary, being able to take and train and teach these rich truths of the gospel to people who are hungry to hear it. Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in Bibb County as you continue to do so, and in other prisons, Lord. May we have the great privilege to be able to go and to share the gospel with inmates. Lord, help us to remember, as you laid before us in Hebrews 13, to pray for those who are in prison and to remember them as though we are in prison with them. Lord, help us to remember that these are people with families and friends and backstories and feelings and hopes and dreams. And Lord, may we care for them and pray for them and long to see the day, Lord, when their hearts would be changed by the gospel, that they may be able to be released from prison and then to go be a powerful evangelist for the sake of the gospel. Lord, help us to invest in that, pray towards that end, and we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.